Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guests, Albert and Maria Garcia, who are members of the Show and Stop movement and former parishioners of Most Precious Blood here in Corpus Christi. How are you two?
Doing well, thank you.
Nice being here with you.
Well, I'm really glad to have you here, and I'm interested to learn more about the movement. But before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? So we'll start with ladies first.
Oh, thank you. Well, I am a housewife. I have been for many years. We grew up in Corpus Christi. Okay, I love Corpus Christi. We have moved now. We live in League City, which is not far from here. But our heart is in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. And I'm a stay-home mom. I'm involved in my parish. And I love to serve the Lord and my fellow Christians. And I'm very proud to be a grandmother of a young 7-year-old girl.
Wonderful. Well, Thank you for sharing. And Mr. Garcia?
Well, we've been married 25 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we have three adult children. So, and just like my wife said, we enjoy serving the Lord and sharing our knowledge and our faith with others that we encounter every day.
So that brings me, and when you speak of sharing your faith, that brings me to speak about the Schoenstatt movement. What exactly is that movement?
Schoenstatt is a lay movement, and it is a Marian movement. And Our Lady is called Blessed Mother of Schoenstatt, and it is a movement for youth, for couples, for mothers, for professional women, professional young men. It is a movement for the whole family.
So you mentioned that it's a Marian movement. The focus is on our Blessed Mother Mary.
Yes. Our movement started in 1914 in Schoenstatt, Germany. And our Blessed Mother did not appear to anyone. So it was an invitation by our founder and the young men that were in the seminary. They invited the Blessed Mother to dwell in this shrine. So it was a preparation through prayer and commitment that they wanted to have a relationship with the Blessed Mother. So they made a commitment and an invitation for her to come and dwell in this shrine. And that beautiful day of 1914 was when the Covenant of Love, which was a covenant between our founder, Father Joseph Kentenich, and the young seminaries that made that covenant with the Blessed Mother.
Wonderful. So, in summary, this movement began in 1914 in Germany.
Yes.
And there was a desire to get closer to our Mother Mary, and an invitation was made for her to dwell
in the shrine.
In the shrine. Mm-hmm. And if someone were wanting just a brief summary of what's involved in this movement, what would you say?
I would say it's an invitation to get closer to God through our Blessed Mother, and it's a new way of life. It's a self-education movement, and by that we mean, you know, you don't sit in an environment and get constantly lectured or taught, but it takes the initiative of the individual to aspire and dwell more in our self-education by a spiritual way of life, by being active in your parish and being involved in serving in the parish. So it just deepens and enriches your already Catholic life. And that preparation that Albert speaks about, that the Father Kentenich, our founder, did in the original shrine, led to what we call in Schoenstatt the covenant of love. And the covenant of love is a gift to the church, to the entire church of the world, from Schoenstatt. Because in that covenant of love, we make a covenant with our Blessed Mother. And if you know any history about the covenants of the Bible, in this particular covenant of love that we have with the Blessed Mother, it deepens our baptism. It deepens the covenant of marriage if you're a married person. So it just enriches your life as a Catholic, no matter what vocation you have, whether you're single, married, or Institute of Fathers, because there are fathers and religious diocesan priests that have made their covenant of love.
Okay, so this is not only for lay people, but this is for religious brothers and sisters. You mentioned seminarians earlier,
yes.
And priests as well.
Priests as well, right.
Wonderful.
There are diocesan priests that have made their covenant of love with the Blessed Mother.
So on a day-to-day basis, or let's say week-to-week, if someone was involved with the Schoenstatt movement, what does that entail? What are they responsible for? I understand that this is a very community-oriented movement.
It is very community-oriented, and it doesn't have any obligations. You don't have any commitments. You don't have to say, well, this is what you have to do on a daily basis. It's all self-initiated. It's your free will. And one of the teachings of Schoenstatt spirituality is to form us to be free, firm personalities. By free is we don't follow the masses, especially the masses of the media. And by firm is to stand for your convictions of your faith that are governed also by, I mean, we adhere to everything of the Catholic Church. You know, we as well answer to the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And to form free, firm personalities. And so that the outcome is a new person, transformation. Transformation so that we can be better servants, better apostolates, better wives, better colleagues, you know, so that you can handle your day-to-day life no matter what environment you work in or live in.
So there's a constant awareness then that you've made this covenant of love with Mother Mary.
Yes.
And you're trying to build yourself with the free, firm personality. I remember speaking to someone recently about this, and I said, there's no better time than now to develop a free and a firm personality.
That is correct, because our spirituality doesn't, we're going to get exposed to all the trials and tribulations that are out there in the world, but it's how you deal with those situations on a daily basis. And every day starts a new day for each one of us. But we strive to do the best we can to lead our faith the way we should and to help our fellow man and to be apostolates, whether we're at work, at home, or just traveling on the road, because we always will have that opportunity, no matter where we are, to spread our faith.
Beautifully said. I know that in speaking with some people that are involved in this movement, as an example of the covenant of love, there was this young mother that had a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary in her home, mm-hmm. and she consecrated her home to Mother Mary. And she shared a story about, even with her young children, when they would bring home their report cards, regardless of whether they were A's, B's, good grades, bad grades, that they would go and present that to Mother Mary, mm-hmm. in the form of placing it by the statue. Mm-hmm. So it was a great devotion, and it was a great way of living their lives, just with, again, with that awareness that we are desiring to get close to Jesus through our Mother Mary.
Yes.
Can you speak to that? You all are parents, and you experience some of those things.
Absolutely. And this is something that we also learned as doing in our home. We have the image of our Blessed Mother of Schoenstatt. We had her, at once we had a little corner, a little prayer corner with her picture. And as we grew in our Schoenstatt spirituality and learned more and educated ourselves and attended different workshops and retreats and we were always at Lamar, we still are, we learned that the same thing. And Schoenstatt has something very similar to what you just described, but there are, it's called living with the capital of grace. And what we mean by living with the capital of grace is exactly that, bringing to the Blessed Mother your everyday work, your strivings, your failures, your joys. Our children would bring their report cards and place it in our little prayer corner, and we would teach them, offer it to the Blessed Mother so that she can offer it to her son. Mm-hmm. And or when they had not so good things, you know, okay, let's go pray to the Blessed Mother so she can help us correct what we just did. So we would take the joys, and even as adults now, we take our joys and our sacrifices and our crosses, because she will help us with that, and then so it can be more presentable to our Lord. So as the years went by and we became more involved, we had what we called the enthronement of the Blessed Mother in our home.
Okay.
So she's where we as a family had a proper preparation. By that I mean spiritual preparation, so that we could properly invite her to dwell in our home. So we had Holy Mass, pretty much like the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, but we did a spiritual preparation prior to that for several weeks as a family. And then we had the Schoenstatt Father come and enthrone the image. So now we have what we Schoenstatt calls a home shrine.
Okay, we're going to talk about the home shrine when we come back for our break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
This year's Diocesan Youth Spectaculars will be held on back-to-back weekends at the Borchard Fairgrounds in Robstown. Both events, entitled Call to Serve, which will see outstanding youth leaders from various parishes recognized, will conclude with Bishop Mulvey presiding at a 5 p.m. Mass. For both the Middle School Spectacular, set for April 22nd, and the High School Spectacular, April 29th, the registration deadline is April 19th. For complete registration information, call the Diocesan Youth Office at 882-6191 or visit diocesecc.org/youth.
Thanks for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guests, Albert and Maria Garcia, who are volunteers with the Schoenstatt Movement, and we've had great conversations so far. Before the break, we talked about a home shrine. Can you tell me a little bit more about the variety of shrines that this movement has?
Well, it starts with the original shrine in Germany, and that is, if you would so call it, the mother shrine. And then it's the daughter shrines, and how the daughter shrines came about was that not everybody had the possibility of traveling to Germany to visit the original shrine. So there was the Schoenstatt Sisters of Mary wanted to build a replica, because all the shrines throughout the whole world are a replica of the original shrine in Germany. So they built a daughter shrine, and a prime example is the shrine that's in Lamar is a daughter shrine. And then there is wayside shrines, and there is one at OOPH here in Corpus Christi. And then you have the home shrine, which we have a home shrine in our home. And then the pilgrim shrines, which the pilgrim shrines are the ones that travel out into the community through the Rosary campaign to different people's homes, jail ministry, nurseries, nursing homes. She has the capability to travel anywhere.
You know, in my mind, I envision just Our Lady of Schoenstatt and her image all over the world, basically, in Germany and going into Lamar, Texas, and a few places like that, and then going into the parishes and then into the home, and then we have the traveling shrine. And just having her there and asking for her intercession is a beautiful thing, because she'll take us to her son Jesus, and And he'll listen to her.
Absolutely.
As all good sons do.
Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
So let's talk about some of the graces that we receive when we do visit this shrine or have these shrines around us.
Yes, there's always three graces. When we enter any shrine throughout the world, there are over 200 daughter shrines, like the shrine at Lamar, all over the world. And the three graces are, when you get there, you receive from the Blessed Mother the grace of, I'm translating them in my head because lately we've been doing a lot of Spanish training, acobijamiento, when she welcomes you and she envelops you with her love and you're made to feel at home. You know, your mother's there. And then the second grace is of inner transformation. You receive the grace of transformation because we get there broken and wounded. And she takes us in her arms and loves us and listens to us. And the third grace is the grace of apostolic fruitfulness. Because once you're there and you become transformed into a new person, then she sends you out the door to be an apostle of Jesus. So those three graces are there for us each and every time we visit. The same graces as if we, and because Albert says, you know how he says that it's a replica. So the three graces from the original shrine are as well in the daughter shrines or in a home shrine because of the blessing that is received in the dwelling of our Blessed Mother. So those are the graces that we get. And then since it's not easy for everyone to visit even a daughter shrine throughout the states, the pilgrim shrine, the visiting shrine, with the same three graces, comes to our home or to our hospital. And once again, those three graces of the inner transformation, of the apostolic fruitfulness.
Well, thanks for sharing the three different graces of welcoming, inner transformation, and apostolic fruitfulness. I mean, I feel so comforted just talking about it right now and just thinking about our Blessed Mother Mary. I know that my daughters go by her statue in the morning and give her the sign of the cross. It's quite interesting and beautiful to see them do that. Mm-hmm. And I would love for them to get closer to our Blessed Mother Mary and know that she is their first mother and yes. She is there for them. Let's go ahead and talk then about our Blessed Mother of Schoenstatt's mission. What is her mission?
Her mission is to spread Christ throughout the world through the new person in the new community so that we can have a better world around us. And to know that we're there to be educated by her. And part of that education, well, a lot of people say, I can't make that commitment. I'm not capable, or I don't want to make a promise and not be able to fulfill it and fail. And well, there's a central law in the Schoenstatt spirituality that says, nothing without you and nothing without me, meaning nothing without you, Blessed Mother, and nothing without me. So if I place my effort, my 1% of making a change in my life, and my spirituality and my way of being a person in this world, then she's going to make up the difference where I'm not capable of it. Just like she did at the wedding at Cana. You know, she helped make up for the lack of wine. So in our homes, where are we lacking? Where can I say, Blessed Mother, I need the wine. I need that 99%, because right now, in my sorrow or in my brokenness, I can only produce 1%.
So she will definitely take the initiative.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Right, right. And it is for us, you know, we're children of God, and Blessed Mother, well, she's the mother of the church. She's the mother of God. She is our mother, and she's the perfect model, perfect example. So that's why, you know, we have such a love for her, because it's that striving that by her example, we strive to do the same. And it's so much at peace when we have to deal with the different situations we may encounter throughout the day, that just like the life that she led during Jesus's ministry, you know, that she was always in the background, and no matter what happened, you know, she took that whatever happened in her heart and pondered on it, and it gives us that frame of mind for us to deal with whatever we may encounter throughout the day.
beautifully said. And I also like how, Maria, you touched upon commitment, because one of my questions was, how committed do we have to be? Is there something that we constantly have to be involved in? But what I'm understanding from you is that Mother Mary takes the initiative, and you give what you can, and she'll make up the rest.
She makes up the difference.
You know, I have two children, and I'm going to school, and I'm working with the diocese, and I would love to be able to develop a spirituality similar to this, but there's always that question of, well, what time commitment does it take? But when we really think about this, it could even be no time commitment at all, but just constantly having Mother Mary in your mind and thinking about her and welcoming her into your home. I know you talked about enthronement of the home, mm-hmm. and offering everything that you have to her. So even your daily chores, even working, being a mother, being mm-hmm. a wife, being a religious brother or sister is all done out of that covenant of love with her.
Yes. And if I may say that, that commitment is self-education. You know, how much do you want to offer? And the more that you offer, of course, the more that you get, right? But if I may also add that in this area, the center of Schoenstatt is the shrine. That's the powerhouse. If one can start there, then the rest will happen.
Okay, so then the suggestion would be to visit...
Visit the shrine.
The shrine.
Visit the shrine, and then there are groups for children that are formed in the Corpus Christi area for spirituality of young ladies, of young girls. There are several groups. They're led by Sister Maria Mara out of Lamar. She comes to Corpus Christi to lead these groups. She also leads a group in the Houston area and one in the San Antonio area, so she's a busy Schoenstatt sister. And then there are also young boys groups for formation. There's mothers groups for formation that meet in homes or at the Schoenstatt Center on Gaines Street. I don't know if you're familiar with that center. And there are couples groups that are led by pioneer couples of Schoenstatt to help the married couple in the Schoenstatt spirituality and being that couple that needs to stay close to the church while they're raising a young family.
You know, I need all the support that I can get. And again, I've had other couples that I know that speak about this movement, and they've been in the movement for years. And it seems like, well, I know that it is such a blessing to have that covenant of love and have that self-education in mind to become a free and firm personality. If anyone wants more information about the Schoenstatt movement, where could they get that information?
That information, Schoenstatt Sisters do have a website, and there is a contact information with a mailing address and a phone number on the website that they can call.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Albert and Maria Garcia, and may God and our Blessed Mother Mary continue to bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's sacred moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Small children often wake up in the middle of the night, crying in fear of the monster under the bed or the ghost in the closet. Fear of the unknown sweeps over them, and their imagination populates it with every demon they have heard of. This has become so commonplace that sometimes we fail to consider the real cause. Maybe if we did, we'd realize that in the deepest root of their fear, the child has reached the extent of their knowledge, that place in their mind where if they take another step in a lit room, they will step past the edge of light and into darkness. And once they take that step, fear overwhelms them, and they don't know what to do. Every one of us has a fear that does the same thing to us, leading us right to the edge of what we understand and threatening to cast us into the dark unknown. It might be a fear of failure, of loss, or of a major change in our life. Whatever it is, we might feel as if we can't go on alone. How simple it is for parents and caregivers to put a child's fears to rest by turning on the lights and looking under the bed or in the closet. These simple steps bring reassurance to the child that they are not alone in facing the darkness of unknowing. As we grow older, however, we find that there are no quick and easy fixes for what stresses or frightens us. We become less easily assured and lose confidence in the answers we once believed. Oftentimes, we turn to solutions we know deep in our heart aren't the right ones, but we turn to them anyway, seeking to shed light on the problem, usually to no avail. Throughout the Gospels, we hear references to Jesus being the light of the world. In John chapter 8, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What simple words he uses to direct and console us. Even in the midst of pain and suffering, even in the midst of death, there is hope. This hope is the Spirit of God moving through us to bring about the fullness of life. It is the deepest desire we have to be converted, to be forgiven and loved. We can hear these same words echoing again and again. He lives, He remembers, and He offers that which we need to survive. We hear Him again. "I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do, and because every lie is alien to the truth. If you remain in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. For the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." The true light is already shining. It is shining in our lives every day. It shines in our hearts and in our minds whenever we are open to the gifts God offers us. Stress and fear of the unknown tomorrow are as nothing when seen in truth. This light of truth and knowledge is infinite. Walking in it, we need never fear going past the edge of light into darkness. May your sacred moments be filled with the light of knowledge, which is given by the Holy Spirit to guide you to the heart of the Father. And may you never fear the darkness that seeks to overshadow His truth. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guests, Albert and Maria Garcia, who are volunteers with the Show and Stop movement. If you'd like more information, please call Maria Rodriguez at 361-991-3356. Tell her that you heard about the Show and Stop movement on Labors of Love. Or if you'd like more information, visit their website at www.showandstop.org. That's SCHOENSTATT.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.